Welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform a bit while talking with Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon Blu-ray.
I'm Dev Q and I am diseased.
Yeah, me and Dev both have throat things at the moment. Mine is more coughing, hers is more horribly sick. Was it horribly sick or just sick?
I mean, it wasn't as bad as like 2 weeks ago when I had norovirus.
Ah. Yeah, mine is mostly, every once in a while I'll be sitting here, then throat will feel weird, and then I have to reach for the mute button to mute myself.
See, my previous headset, which is also sitting right next to me, that had a nice little thing where if I flip the microphone up, it automatically mutes me. This one does not have a mute button.
Ah, see, mine has like a control pad on the wire. So I have that clipped to like the bottom of my shirt, and I know where the button is without even looking. So yeah.
Unfortunately, I sneeze like a chipmunk, so hopefully no one has to be subjected to that.
Well, I put noise reduction on both of us, so hopefully that will help if you don't get it. And then, hey, Beat Break is back from a hiatus.
What? I thought it never went on a hiatus. I thought episode 13 aired last week.
Yeah, that was a bit funny. Anime News Network does their weekly poll of people voting for and at first, Beat Break was listed with episode 13, and fans gave it a 4.6 out of 5. So not only were they giving it a score for an episode that didn't air, they weren't even being shitters about it and giving it a perfect score. Some people were actually giving it a score. Like, here's the thing. If everyone was just going in and clicking 5 for a laugh, that makes sense. But when you're actually getting like an actual score, it's like, do people not realize it didn't actually air?
Apparently not.
Yeah. So our new arc starts, and weirdly, just like episode one, we sort of start with like mirror world / other place, and then characters just show up, and characters just showing up.
Yep, one after a fucking other, and then we got a massive information drop. It's like, thank you. We kind of wanted this for, you could have given us a little bit more of this like the past season.
Yeah, so we get it explained that the event happened 20 years ago. What's weird is they don't actually say Digimon did it. They allude that it is, but they don't really say.
Aliens did it.
Then they talk about the threat of Digimon, the World Union preparing for it. I feel like saying it's time to start the Shangri-La Project is less powerful when every episode has pointed out the Shangri-La egg.
Yeah, they're all over the fucking place. Everyone wants to live in them. They've had plenty of episodes kissing their ass.
And then Kaido points out the Marine Bullmon attack seems oddly coincidental. Chairman Wong, we get the reaction from him where he clearly knows it wasn't an accident, but isn't willing to call out the guy on it. Because they all have to work together. And also, Dev, here's where we have to stop to comment on Wikimon. Did you see the debate on Wikimon?
Nah, I've been, like, working myself to death in retail, so I haven't even bothered looking in, like, a month.
So one sec, I am going to link you in chat to a page on the site. Just because
this is fucking stupid.
No, this is going to be the official site. Okay, so this is the Japanese site for the anime. Now, Dev, what is the page about if you were to be on it?
The 5 stars.
The conversation on Wikimon has decided this is a mistranslation, and it is not the 5 stars. So the article...
Their logo is a fucking star.
Wikimon has decided it is the 5 planets. I should point out, the web address in Japan is 5 stars. It has a giant text banner in English moving across the screen, and as Dev has pointed out, the logo is a giant star of 5 coming together as one. I like how in chat they actually already know what Wikimon put there. And then after that, we jump off to Glowing Dawn Pizza Time, and Yoshi made a pizza oven.
I mean, why not just build an entire goddamn pizza oven?
I feel like it's funny because it does come off as an amusing like celebration that they're a proper team now. I feel like it would have worked better before, like, the not-quite-political intrigue. Because instead, what it makes it feel like is we get the plot set up for the new arc, And then it jumps to just show us Glowing Dawn fucking around. And weirdly, is it weird that the characters and the marking ignore that Murasamon is an adult?
Because they keep my headphones kicked out a little bit for there.
Oh, they keep referring in the show and in advertising to Glowing Dawn now having 3 adult/champions, and ignoring that Murasamon has been there saving them since the beginning of the series.
Doesn't he count?
I guess not. And then Kyo fucks off to take a nap, which is maybe why he doesn't count. Poor Kugurumon. And then Kugurumon also comments about the concerns about Kaito. And as they go to find work at a mall, it's Bomber Nanimon, and someone blew up a police box. And weirdly, detectives...
Fuck Doctor Who.
So this is weird. Detectives check their bags, but then people from the ministry come to stop them. Has this happened before now, where the ministry's helping them?
No, usually the ministry just shows up to be ominous and...
Yeah, I feel like we could have had some setup for this, because as far as I know, nothing, the status quo has not actually changed. This stuff for Tomro and Gekkoman have changed, but nothing has changed in the world for the characters. So I would have liked to have seen this before, where you have them, in theory, working as one, because that is theoretically what's happening.
You have people with Digimon doing, the hard labor, but then you have, random MIB grunts, just smoothing the way.
And then no one can be evacuated because bomb, and it'll be blown up early if they do. And first member of Tactic shows up, and it's Raido hitting on Reyna.
I mean, at least he has decent taste.
And pretending not to know what Digimon are after Pristimon flips out.
And she should have bitten him.
And then we get, Hotaruko running into Makoto and Trotmon. And then we get Granite showing up in front of Tomuro. Gekkoman, I like Gekkoman commenting on the odd backpack.
Hey, is that backpack alive?
And then I would have liked one of the eye catches to be a member of Tactics.
I guess they didn't want us to know that
there are other
Tactics
characters
existed yet.
So that's actually a weird flaw of the episode is, would it not have been much cooler if they had shown us, the trailer and everything after this episode and not, set up Tactics and everything? Yeah. If we didn't know that Tactics was appearing and was important, would it not have been cooler if they just showed up?
It's huh, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah. They already, gave away the bag by doing the trailer and everything. And then, Granite vanishes as the dimer hits zero, and fireworks. And the bomber himself is a visual reference to any number of characters, but he also kind of looks like Nanimon. And the joke is he's just upset he doesn't have a girlfriend on his 30th birthday.
Sorry, my dude.
Yep. Gekkoman, you're a wizard. Then Gekkoman quickly bounces the bomb back at him. And I like how everyone just is annoyed at how pathetic it all is. And then, bless them,
I was lamenting that my 30th birthday, and then this thing was born.
And then, bless them, Dev, did you see the reference?
Yes. Yes, I did. I recognized that immediately.
It's the voice of Don Patch. And do you know what the funnier thing is here? This is not the first time that we've gotten that kind of casting joke. Do you know why? Do you remember who's been Don Patch before?
Oh, shit. Oh.
When they made...
is not coming to my brain.
When they did Citramon in Data Squad and turned Bomber Nanimon into Citramon, it was the English voice of Don Patch playing him. Kirk Thornton.
Okay, so, that's why I didn't remember, because I was wiping that from my brain.
So we now have Don Patch playing both of them in different languages. We also get a few Bobobo references elsewhere, like when they're doing the hyup noise. That's not generically a Bobobo thing, but that happened a lot in that anime. And hey, Mira...
And the very obvious Bomberman video game references with the maze.
And also, they jumped into that Mirror World quick. We got evolutions quickly. Gekkoman does not evolve because he jumped in too quickly. And things explode. And then they all point out that Gekkoman hasn't popped out the Sapotama yet, so he can't evolve. And then he gets punched in the stomach, and Tomuro has the Sapotama. And then Bomber and Animon can't really do much to any of them, frankly.
He tries. That's what matters. He put in the effort.
And then in pops Tactics, and everyone recognize, and he's recognized as the guy who hit on Reyna. And Raito starts like flip out about his uniform getting dirty.
I think he has some issues.
Yeah, then we get Monodramon, Shockomon, Ludomon. I love Ludomon acting as a shield. That's so good.
It's adorable.
And then we get the Sandstorm whisking them away. And they appear at the egg. We find out they're actually Tactics Team 7. They get a lecture. And it isn't clear if they work for Clay or the Five Stars generically. Was this something we were told in the initial stuff or not? I don't remember if we were told if Tactics actually worked for them. Or if they were just another team.
I read it as just another team.
Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure if in the initial information we got 2 weeks ago, if we were told this. I know we know now, of course, but I don't think 2 weeks ago we knew this, or if we did, we both blanked on it. Overall, a good episode. Not as different as I think we kind of hoped we would get. And really, the beginning and the ending were setups for the new arc. The middle was kind of just Glowing Dawn farting around. And I kind of wonder if this episode would have been better before the hiatus, like before we were told anything.
Yeah, I feel like if they aired this episode last week and then had the hiatus this week, along with all of the trailers and everything. Yeah,
that would have been cooler to not have been told.
There's new cleaner team. Wow, they look so cool. Wow, they're an asshole.
Yeah, to me, the episode was mostly solid. I feel like there are some mishaps. AR gave it a much harsher rating in his review than I expected, to be honest. C+. I feel like I'd probably give it a B-, because flaws or not, I still think it was a solid episode and fun. But yeah, I can definitely understand being kind of like disappointed that, like, hey, it's a new arc, sort of. And also, like, we kind of just get the data dump at the beginning. We get the new team dump at the end. It all feels like it was supposed to be more important after, like, the trailer and the key art. And as normal as that stuff is,
it would have worked better if some of that information would have been spread out, like, over to, like, the last 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah. Still generally solid. Okay, Dev, are you ready for the Castopalooza?
Oh, no.
Okay. Honoko is Rikugiyama, who's Ikto and Savers, Ukumon in O2 the beginning, various characters and other Digimon stuff. A quick rundown of some other roles. Pianco and Duel Masters, Curious and Pretty Cure, Happy and Fairy Tale, Louise and Familiar of Zero, Alphonse and Full Metal Alchemist, Kaguro and Gintama, Momo and Jujutsu Kaisen, and it just gets
around.
Yes, it goes on Taiga and Toradora. Just goes on forever. Rose is Ryoko Shirishi. Her history with Digimon is very long. Akari, Chibikamimon, Mervamon, Opossumon. She's the player character in Redigitized, Sora in 2020. Yukiha in Survive, Minervamon in Time Stranger. Just rolls over and over. I'll skip over most of the stuff. Would you like to know the dubbed over content?
Yes. I want to see how ridiculous things could possibly be.
I only did a few with her because it just kept getting more ridiculous. So she's Hannah Montana.
The fuck?
Jennifer in the Back to the Future movies, Ruby in Jumanji, Jimmy Neutron.
Huh.
Satoshi Mikami, it was Clay. He's in Digimon for the first time. Biggest that people know him is Fanzel from Black Clover. Chairman Wong is Akio Otsuka, which his credit list is so long, I was just like scrolling at random and stopping once in a while to see where I was. So, he's played Paimon and Apocalypse in various stuff, taking over those roles from his father, Shika Otsuka. So, are you ready for just a small sampling of his stuff, Dev?
I've looked over that list before. It is very long.
So I just picked a small sampling. Ansem in Kingdom Hearts, Solid Snake in Big Boss, Go in Ace Attorney, Blackjack, Yujiro and Baki, Gohan in Beastars, Shunsei in Bleach, Amado and Boruto, Ochi and Bungo Stray Dogs, Shigen and Durara, Kaladin and Full Metal Panic, Bateau and all the Ghost in the Shell stuff, most of it anyways. He's the current voice of Jigen, Daisuke, and Lupin, All for One in My Hero Academia, Blackbeard in One Piece. And are you ready for some dubbed over stuff, Dev? This one was so long, I had to literally just list a hint ready. Steven Seagal, Nicolas Cage, Denzel Washington, and Antonio Banderas, Samuel Jackson, including Riker in Star Trek The Next Generation, the Grim Reaper in Bill and Ted.
Holy shit.
Launchpad McQuack.
Okay, that is the best role.
Yeah, I decided I could not stop. I could not continue after Launchpad McQuack. That's what I called it. Toshiyuki Toyonaga is Raito. He's Ray from Atmon. And just, we'll just go with that he played Mikey in the last Ninja Turtle movie in Japan. Wataru Hatano's Monodramon, his first Digimon role. Just to pick one good one, he is... We'll go with Hitoshi in My Hero Academia. And also Todd in Scott Pilgrim. Hotoruko is played by Sakura Kawaguchi. She had a lot of bit roles and various stuff, and she's also the younger Tomura when he appears in Beat Break.
Great.
Okay, this is probably the funniest one. Are you ready? Shakumon is played by Misaki Watada. She was Hikari in 2020, and Mio in Survive. Do you remember why that's funny as hell, Dev?
No.
Miu's Digimon partner, Shakumon.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I was mixing her up with the also, the Vegemon.
Also, someone in chat was asking which launchpad. I think it's the original. I don't think it's the remake. I could be wrong, though. Then Marina Nui's Granite. She was Taiguru in Hunter, Emma in Ghost Game, and Yuki Kanon in Time Stranger. Her credits are also basically unlimited. Just skipping past a few, she's Yozuru in Haganai, Yoko in Gurren Lagann. Yeah, it's just very
long.
Yes. In dubbed over content, she's She-Hulk in the Marvel TV series and Maddie in the Sonic movies.
Huh.
Ryoto Takeuchi plays Seraphie Naito. He was the Dark Rizamon in Ghost Game who showed up a few times. Then the Bomber was the same actor who played Haimon Scar, Musimon in 02. We discussed his stuff before. And then Bomber and Animon, as mentioned, was Masaya Onosaka, who most relevant is Don Patch. And he was also the lead Skull Sadamon in Frontier. And perhaps probably one of his most notable roles for English fans is he was the original Vash the Stampede. And yes, since Chad pointed out, they did not give the Bomber a name in the credits. I believe it was just the Bomber or Bomber. So yeah, so nothing like not important. I would not expect him to show up again. Then we get preview for episode 14, Tactics. That title really also makes it feel like that we should have got the trailer after that. Like that, that really is a shame if we had not had that stuff revealed. But it is what it is. And then, so Beat Break updates. We got a bunch of character art.
I am so obsessed with this character art.
So I only have two issues. The first is they stopped at, I think, episode 6. Because that's where the end, the two-part of the Pandemon stuff ended, right?
Yeah.
And also, did they have to limit this to 720p? They've been giving us such nice high-resolution stuff. Did they have to stop there?
They knew it would make us too powerful.
I really love the art, though.
Also, just going to say, cool-ass reference for cosplay.
Yeah, for cosplay, this stuff would be gold. See, and here's the funny thing. People are like, oh, is Dev going to make a nice outfit based on Kyo? It's like, no, Armalizamon. Dev's going to make the full armor. She's not, but it'd be funny.
No, I've tried making armor before. It did not turn out well. I am very bad at math.
Ah. And then we have the second ED, which is Brave Groove by iLife. Very, very nice ending. I will say, not as pixely as you think it is by people talking about it. Like, it kind of skews more like to soft art. Minus, weirdly, they do a couple clips of the show that they've put through like a pixel filter. Those, I think, look kind of weird.
It made me think of the little anime sequences they put into the CSA Digivices.
See, those are actually higher quality color-wise. And yes, in the ending and the preview, we see it. A new Digimon. We'll comment on that, I assume, next week. And also, did you see hiding in the ending Terrymon Assistant?
Yes.
That's good. The song I thought was
it's
actually
a Terriermon takeover.
I think the song is actually pretty catchy, honestly.
It's a real nice beat.
Yes, it does. And then we also get we got profile art for the Digimon of the Five Stars and the Digimon Tactics, and the cast list for the Tactics Digimon, including the two who did not talk yet. Which, so first, Ken Uo's Gigasmon, he played him in Ghost Game. So we already know that's going to be fine. And then the interesting one's Ludomon. It's Yuko Sanpei. So yes, Tai Chi's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was Tai Chi in 2020, and she also played Tai Chi in some anniversary stuff last year that was the original cast, like mobile game stuff. And she's also Yu Nogi in Hakir's Memory. You know what the funny thing is? Every time I see Ludomon, does it feel like he should speak like he's a gremlin?
Yes, but I also want to bap him on the head and hear it make jingling noises.
No,
like
see,
a cymbal.
Yeah, exactly. I want to hear, like, the clang. And interestingly, they did not announce the cast for the three that we have not heard from the Five Stars. So Marine Kameramon, Lilamon, and Proganomon. So we will see what pops
up. You know,
I
really hope at some point Lilamon evolves into Bansho Lilimon. That would be hilarious to me.
I'm trying to decide if, like, Marine Kameramon, do I want him to not talk? Just, like, floating around. Maybe. And then
when it does talk, it has to be the most completely unfitting, unexpected voice in existence. It needs to sound like you swallowed a kazoo.
And then, hey, it's 2026. We went over some of the social stuff posted to it, plus, you know, you're in the site and Digimon, plenty of stuff to talk about. So first up, the 2026 art, which showed War Greymon riding the horse Gaia Force.
A horse is a horse, of course, of course.
This is not Mr. Ed.
It could be.
Then the character designer for Beat Break drew a number of Digimon characters from Beat Break very well. I really love the style. Everyone seemed enthralled by Kyo, most of all.
For reasons.
Then Tomo01 drew some very nice Liberator-themed art of Shoto and his partners.
I don't have much attention Muchomon is getting lately.
No, so do I. Like, it's been since that one novel chapter, I think, which I think universally was the one we liked the most from year two. Ayumi Miyazaki did a nice, more standard New Year's card, and the Digimon music producer put a nice photo up. Time Stranger and Beat Break both had really lazy ones. It's just key art with a look forward to the next year.
Ooh.
And then Miyanori from Digimon Card Battle, a couple of hours before midnight, she went to the Agumon statue in front of Bandai and unpacked cards, which I thought was amusing as hell.
For good luck.
And then in the best New Year stuff, every New Year's Volcano Oda draws a Digimon thing to celebrate the New Year. This year instead, he made a Kit Bash kit from an entry-grade Gundam, which he calls War Grey Dam.
It looks really cool, especially the color integration.
It does. And it's especially cooler when you remember that he helped design War Greymon. So that was neat.
Beautiful.
We went over the past year stuff to look for. There's been a lot in 2025, and we'll see what pops up in 2026. and then, in it, a couple days ago, was the 21st anniversary of X Evolution.
All hail Tokemon X.
You know, it always felt like he should have... I was going to say he should have a more central role on the poster. Is he even there? I always, like, forget if he's on the poster or not. He is not. Oh, yes, he is.
Like, I'm zooming in. And
look, War Greymon X is holding him.
Yeah, he's, like, right hidden behind Doramon's ear.
Yeah, he's really close to being blocked out. It feels like he should be more central to the poster, doesn't it?
Feels like he's getting Mike Wazowski'd.
I mean, objectively, complaining about a 21-year-old poster is kind of picky even for us, but still. And then, less picky, movies 4 through 6 Blu-rays out. Hooray! Dubbed and subbed.
Fuck yeah.
Oh man, I'm so happy these are out.
I have friends that are very happy to have access to these.
Yeah, I'm very excited. They're done. They're out. We didn't announce this time until the packaging and logos and everything were approved. That's why it came quicker. So it just went much
faster.
I always
like the little eyes on the disc.
Yeah, this one, Paladin Mode.
Yep.
The fun thing about this one is Paladin Mode only shows... He's not in the movie very much. But between the couple of seconds he's in the movie and his control art, they show them with like four different eye colors. So we made all four and sent it to Toei going, which do you want us to use? Because the eye color changes.
It'd be funny if they did like a rock, paper, scissors to determine it.
Don't know. They just pointed out, use this one, please. But like we saw it, like we weren't going to do it. So, you know, it'd be back and forth. We just did a stack of every color we could find and go, which would you prefer? Because the last movie set was Omega Monsai.
That one's a little more consistent.
And I think the Omega, if I remember, that might have actually been their suggestion to do Omega One. I think we had it, I want to say in the original approval submission, it was the Agumon eye again. And they're like, maybe Omega Mon. It's like, oh, we didn't think you would approve that. That's great. But yeah, so I'm very happy this is out. Got to include Japanese trailers. Got to include a lot of production art. Hooray. And then Time Changer's done a run of not DLC stuff, but the Hyokumon stuff, which is very interesting, and not commenting on why all five of his forms are in there. If you play the game, you'll know, though.
It's like, hey, it's the chicken from the other Digimon story.
Yeah, we get Hyokumon, Baraimon, Butenmon, Chronomon Holy Mode, and Chronomon Destroy Mode.
Mine is my favorite still, Destroy Mode.
Destroy Mode feels a bit too Gundam-y for me, to be honest. It's like a evil Gundam, but with like Millenniumon's face.
It was kind of fun fighting, although kind of went down like a bitch in the original game.
That happens in a lot of Digimon games where like they'll make this character look super menacing, and it's just bam, 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 done. And then cards. So first up, we get Ragnamon slash Galacticmon Peril Art. I like these. These also are very busy.
I was going to say, cool, but busy as shit.
You know, like, if you don't zoom in a bit to the second one, do you even realize Zeno's there?
No.
Then I will say, the tamer card for Zeno is A, really cool, but B, does it not have his body structure?
It's like, also just really, really basic.
Well, no, see, that's the thing. Like, I like it. It's cool anime style. But am I wrong? Or does the build feel much more of an adult than him?
Feels wider, a little less twinkish.
Then we get Tsunarizumon.
I love this art style.
Yeah, it's like a really cool like jumping attack. Tsunarizumon, that's really cool art for him. Then Pyramidimon gets standard and Peril. So first, the standard art, this is very much a model kit box. But again, they really don't know what to do with this character in images, do they?
Look, he doesn't have that much articulation, and he's fucking gigantic.
And then the Peril art, we get him from above and close to staying there. But again, like, I like the art, but the Digimon shot off close is kind of just there. There's no personality. I'm not sure. It's cool art, but, like, this Digimon just does not get shown off in art that well, I think. And then we get close and Peril art, and both of these are great. So we get the manga anime style art, which for great for close, and then her sitting with Tsunarizumon, which looks great, honestly.
Also, isn't that the one desert town in the Lacuna?
I think so. I don't remember, to be honest, but it looks good. Although I think out of these two, I think I like the normal art for close better, honestly.
I'm leaning more towards the expression colors on the parallel.
Makes sense. Then we get Terramon. This is neat with the light coming in, and it's like his eyes are closed because he's just happy about the sunlight. He's just kind of basking in it.
Like he just woke up in the morning.
Zafagamon, this is the same. We got this really tiny in the promo poster. And then I love the parallel art where it's Zafagamon and Shoto and Muchamon. Am I wrong? Or does this feel like a shot from an anime ending?
It does. Absolutely.
Also,
from a Gundam anime specifically.
Also, am I wrong? Or because of the sample art, does it feel like even though Muchamon's like really central to this, does it feel like it's just in the right place where you can like miss him entirely?
Yeah. And also it's really cute that Zafagamon's holding Muchamon.
Yeah, that's it. And then more for Shoto. First up, normal tamer card for Shoto. The chin is a bit much. Very much
it
like...
It looks older.
It's Jay Leno-ish.
Yes.
And then from Naoki Akamine, who drew the Atmon and Hacker's Memory mangas, is the cartoony art of Shoto, Terramon, and Muchamon, which is also the key art for the set. This one's just amazing.
And also it's gorgeous.
Also, am I wrong, or is Muchomon small in this image?
I think his beak is just really small. But also, I think it was done to, like, get them both into frame easier.
But, like, if you look, it's like he's not much bigger than Shoto's head.
He's just a little bean.
He's just a little guy. And then Koromon blowing bubbles, that's great.
That Agumon is very rubbery.
So the Agumon one I love, I mentioned it in my post about it. It feels like you should there should be a Photoshop of a skateboard where he's doing a Tony Hawk trick.
Fucking Wipeout. More like he's failing a Tony Hawk trick. Agumon about to eat shit.
Okay, the Dinomon card from earlier today, very nice, but also this is just burning Godzilla.
Yes.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, like, even if you look at, like, the face, it's less Dinomon and more Godzilla.
It's just fire everywhere.
And then we get Ryutaro, which I don't dislike it, but it's also kind of boring.
Yeah.
Then we get Caprimon and Espeon. The Espeon one's really cool. Although, does the town feel weirdly empty?
Yeah, there's, like, no one down there. Maybe they've all been evacuated because this weird little fucking alien bastard is doing trick shots.
And then they announced the art pop-up is coming back again January 10th through February 1st, this time at the Aichi Sansado Bookstore Nagoya main store. This is the same as the last time they did it, just at a different location. Nothing much to say about this one. We've gone over the products, like, two or three times now, Dev.
Yeah, it keeps coming back for revenge.
And then talk about a weird revenge. So, the Digi Fortune Slips Volume 2. These are...
We haven't seen these for a hot fucking minute.
So, first let's point out what this is, then we'll talk about the weird thing. So, you pay about 950 yen, and you get a envelope, and inside you get one of 10 metal Digimentals, which all look great. I think they're not quite the exact same mold as the ones from the D3, but they're close. And also like a fortune slip, which tells you your fortune for the year. The first volume of these was from the end of 2019 when LB Pop-Up Theater was just opening for the memorial shorts before Kizuna came out. And those were silver baby Digimon instead of the gold Digimentals. So this is series two, but series one is from over half a decade ago. Yeah, so like, yeah. Yeah, 6 years and change. So wild that it was that long ago. And it was like volume two. I'm like, I remember these, but like, these were a while ago. Like, shit, yeah. So these
weren't they baby things?
These will be available at Annabirth on January 19th, January 16th at the Toei Online Shop. And I would assume somewhere around there we will see them at the museum. And then, another flash from the past, a fourth series of Monogram International Digimon 3D keychains. So this
I spoke them into existence accidentally.
Yeah, that's the funny part, is you brought this up just a week or two ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago when AR was here, wasn't it?
Yeah, I forget what it was, like, during some sort of question, like some merch that we have around.
Okay, so this one is Metal Greymon, Weregreymon, Birdramon, Kabuterimon, Togemon, Akakumon, Angelmon, and Wargreymon. Chase keychains are Metal Greymon and Sora's Digivice. Although it's a bit odd because another one shows a Crest of Courage, so not sure where that is. These are for sale now and should be shipping soon. No Agumon Goomba. And Dev, did you look at the article and appreciate what I put there?
Yes. Go Goomba.
Hey, we've got the Goomba twice. So if they do a Series 5, he might return yet again.
That is true. I have so fucking many of these.
Okay, then we have the Weekend Potpourri. Right before the show went up, they did put up reference book stuff. We will do those next week. Trying to add new stuff to the show at 6:45 p.m. just was not going to happen.
Like, no.
So first up, we found out from when they put up the zombie Plutomon clip, Asmuri revealed that he's the one who designed zombie Plutomon and designed him quite a while ago. That's why he's pointier.
Yes. Explains everything.
Then, in some of the end of year, New Year's stuff, Moiro Song Battle had Hidenori Chiwata performing Butterfly. For those who don't know, he's the one who composed and wrote the lyrics.
Neat.
Yeah, so that was a bit of a weird one to see. Usagi Bochi did New Year's art later, which we'll go over next week. But for the end of the year, he put up his most popular piece for the year, which was the image of Hackmon that he did, that he made into a wallpaper later.
We're all greatly appreciated of that.
It's such good art. Then the card game put up Happy New Year's art of Shoto, Terramon, and Muchomon.
We love you, Muchomon.
Muchomon's just happy to be there. Then we got a screen cap from Digimon TV that reveals that December 31st is Genjo's birthday, and the character designer for Beat Break put up art the same day to celebrate that. That is some shiny, gleamy art, isn't it?
He's a very sparkly bastard.
Yeah. And then for Beat Break, we got art from the character designer again, showing Raito and Monotremon. And then Megumi Han revealed that during the recording episode, she got hungry for pizza, and Mio Arino ordered pizza for her that matched the pizza in the show.
He's a good friend.
Then, chat, time for you guys to throw up questions. We do the ones that were sent in ahead of time. First one was, do you think they should get a new Digimon game out ASAP and more anime immediately after Beat Break ends? Some sort of game, probably.
Give it some breathing room.
Yeah, I feel like breathing room after anime is sometimes good, but we will see what happens.
Like, the breathing room doesn't have to be, like, an entire year or several, but just, you don't need to jump directly into a new one.
Yeah, we'll see what they do. At some point, it's like, let's let the DLC finish and the show to the show's not even, like, 25% through so far. It's, like, right around there. Let's let it go. Not New Year's resolution, but is there anything you want to do more of this year?
Cosplay.
I want to do more co-op games with friends online. I was bad about that last year.
Yeah, but you were also, like, really busy.
Yeah, and see, the problem was, and anytime I was available, everyone else was busy. Which happens.
Exactly.
See, at some point, I have to, like, probably have to kidnap Dev and try, what's it called, Split Fiction? That looked neat.
Look, there's a running joke in D&D, like, the hardest thing about the game is gathering at least three adults with different work schedules together to play.
Okay, Dev, a question from Tiny Iron Fist. Which horse Digimon do you like? I feel like mine...
You know, I really like Pegasmon.
Yeah, that was going to be my answer, too, because that's, like, I just like the design, where it's, like, the neat horse. It still sort of looks like Patamon, but also has the armor and everything.
It's a good design. That and also, like, Shima Unimon is fun, too. That's, like, just fun little nostalgia from playing Digimon World and trying not to get stabbed, trying to cross that map where that little bastard is standing there.
I mostly just remember Unimon attacking Joe and Gomamon. But yeah, Pegasusmon/Pegasmon is definitely my answer for horse.
Slapemon is also a really good horse.
There's some decent horse Digimon, honestly. When Digimon Liberator ends, what do you think should replace it for comics? I know what I would like to see. I would like to see them do Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say more of the Digimon comic compilations. Those were fun.
I was going to say do Digimon comics, but maybe instead of like getting four or five every 3 months, maybe like one every 3 weeks or one every month. Just so like it isn't like a quarter of a year and then we get a ton all at once that we have to consider. Like,
Just like spread it out a little more.
Yeah. With the new Mega Man coming, someone was wondering what you thought about playing the prior games before then, if they haven't played them, and any other retro games you think should be played before coming stuff. Mega Man, I would say yes. Although I love Mega Man, so like, yeah. Honestly, the one that holds up the least is probably 1.
It's been so long since I played Mega Man, and apparently the one I played was one of the most infuriating ones to begin with. So...
Were you playing 1?
I think I was playing 2 on the Game Boy.
Yeah, the Game Boy ones can be kind of frustrating a bit. I mostly remember that it felt like the view was too zoomed in.
And toxic green screen.
Yeah, and then any other retro games you think should be played before coming stuff? There's a lot of fucking retro anniversaries this year. Like, I saw a list. Let me see if I can find it. of like the okay, ready for the big anniversaries this year, Dev?
Sure, because I've mostly been ignoring them because
okay,
I
now,
haven't
now
had
to
time
be
to play
now
games.
To be clear, these are only a few. And so Zelda 40, Metroid 40,
damn.
Dragon Quest 40, Kid Icarus 40, Castlevania 30, Sonic 35, Persona 30, Pokemon 30, Animal Crossing 25, Luigi's Mansion 25, and Pikmin 25.
Damn.
Yeah,
rest in fucking peace is my wallet.
See, that's the funny part. Like, when I look at some of these, like, Sonic, most of the big ones are collected now. Castlevania, Castlevania was interesting because the only ones left are some of the weirder ones and the 3D ones. Like, there are good ports of most Castlevanias now. In fact, the most popular Castlevania to not have a port on everything is Symphony of the Night.
I was going to say, didn't they just do, like, a compilation of a bunch of Castlevanias
semi-recently? They've done, like, three or four in last years. Symphony of the Night is on a compilation, but it's a PS4, PS5 exclusive one because it's based on the PSP one. So that one we need a port for, but yeah. So many of these have so much stuff coming. I mean, Metroid just got a game, so we'll see.
Yeah, I don't expect... Well, I expect, like, merchandise... But not necessarily a whole new game, considering they just dropped one.
See, there were rumors for years that when they did the remaster of Metroid Prime 1, they also did 2 and 3. So they could phantom drop those at some point. Last chance for questions from chat. And someone asked, do you think Digimon benefits more from a larger arc structure, something more open? So this is interesting, because even when we get larger arcs, they generally are more open. And even, like, the issues with, like, Ghost Game being fully open was less it was open and more they just didn't deal with any of it. So I feel like it's more how it deals with the structure it has.
Just have, like, good, consistent writing and just in general.
Yeah. Okay, I think that is it. Dev, since we're nearing the end, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
For Year of the Horse, it should be Unimon.
That's better than what I thought you were going to do.
I was going to say the five planets,
yeah,
but that'd be too much of a dick move.
Yeah, I thought that's what you were going to do. I thought that's what you were going to call.
The horse deserves it more.
Yes, it does. Especially because it's not stupid. I can be found at Witho as always. Me and Dev will catch you again next week. Hopefully with both of us having better quality throats at the time.
Hopefully I'm suffering, my dude.
So, yeah, we will catch you guys next time. Thank you everyone for showing up. Hope the new year treated everyone well. And keep just doing your best. Thank you everyone for showing up. We will catch you next week. Bye.
Bye.